I'm William Cooper, and this is the Hour of the Time. Well, you all had a warning last night, so you should have pen and paper, because I'm going to give you the all of the sale things. And we only have a few of some of these items, or at least one of these items. And some of these are going to be discontinued in the near future. We're getting ready to publish the Oklahoma City bombing book within the next few months. And I'm working on three books of my own. One of them should be ready to publish soon. We may be publishing some other works of some other people. And so we've got to make room for all of that stuff. So get ready to write down these sale prices. Remember, the sale is going to last 2 weeks, 2 weeks only. So it will end with the broadcast on Tuesday, 2 weeks from tonight. All orders must be postmarked within those 2 weeks for the sale prices to be honored. Everything is 20% off. 20% off. My book, Behold a Pale Horse. Behold a Pale Horse. For members of CAGI or the Intelligence Service, it's $20 post-paid. $20 post-paid. For non-members, $24 post-paid. That's non-members, $24 post-paid. If you live in a foreign country, which includes Canada and Mexico, any place outside of the borders of the United States, add $6 to the price of the book for shipping and handling. Now remember, if you live within the borders of the United States and you're a member, it's $20 post-paid. If you're a non-member, $24 post-paid. If you're a member who lives outside the borders of the United States, it's $26 post-paid. Non-members, $30 post-paid. That's for outside the United States. The treason documents. And folks, a lot of the so-called research that other people are telling you that they have done and what's happening today, well, what they did is they sent in and purchased a copy of our treason documents, which is 600 and about 30 pages of actual documentation. The law, the Federal Register, the Congressional Record, statutes at large, United States Code, all of these things, United State Department documents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's over 600 and I believe it's about 620 or 630 pages. And a lot of these people who are passing around documents now got them by sending for our treason documents. One organization even purchased our treason documents, put them on a CD, and then began selling the CD and didn't even give us credit. So if you wonder sometimes why I'm disgusted with a lot of people out there, that's one reason why. Anyway, the treason documents for members, $60 post-paid. That's $60, $60 post-paid. Non-members, $68 post-paid. Now let me tell you how this worked. I did the original research and broadcast the results of my research over this station. A young gentleman called me one day and wanted to know how he could verify my research. So I told him I wasn't going to tell him exactly step by step how to do it, because I wanted him, just like I want you all, to learn how to do research. So I helped him, and he would call me when he was stumped. And I would give him a hint, and I told him how to handle librarians and when to, you know, take them a little bouquet of flowers and things like that, and how to get through the research. Well, he duplicated my research. And in that process, he validated everything that I had been broadcasting. He validated the research that I had done on his own. And his name is Paul Kitzman. And you heard him one night on the Hour of the Time, I guess 2 or 3 years ago, when I brought him on to tell the story of how he set out to find out whether I was telling the truth or not, and how I helped him along, and how he learned to do good research on his own. So because he did that, and because he also, in his research, as you will too, came up with some things that we didn't find, he gets a portion of the money that is paid for the treason documents, a royalty, as a matter of fact. So for members, it's $60 post-paid. Non-members, $68 post-paid. If you live outside the United States, it's a big, giant, thick, about 8 inches thick stack of paper. It's an extra $10 for shipping and handling. So if you live outside the United States, enclose an extra $10 for shipping and handling. The Luxor video. Now, the Luxor video, ladies and gentlemen, is no good unless you have a foundation in the meanings of the symbolism of the mystery schools, the secret societies, and it has no narration. It does have the natural sounds of the environment. It is just a documentation of the symbology in the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas, the giant pyramid, and it is heavy with symbolism. And this was actually made, in fact, it is number 33 in the series that we did on Mystery Babylon. So it's actually a part of that set, the Mystery Babylon series. So if you're going to buy that set, don't buy the video. If you can't afford to buy the set, buy the Luxor video and then study symbolism and see if you can figure out what a lot of this stuff means. If you already know the symbolism, this tape will be a great joy to you. For members, it's $24 post-paid. Non-members, $28 post-paid. That's members, $24 post-paid. Non-members, $28 post-paid. If you live outside the United States, add $5 for shipping and handling. If you live outside the United States, add $5 for shipping and handling. The Zapruder video, ladies and gentlemen, is the finest you can get anywhere. There's no one who has even has an equal quality or even close to the quality of this videotape. It took me many years to find a method to be able to obtain a first generation 35 millimeter film, that's actual film duplicate of the original Zapruder film. And it cost us a lot of money. If we sell it at these prices for another 10 years, we're not even going to come close to ever getting our money back. And that's not the purpose we did it. It's to educate people. Again, it has no narration. I used to do this film with narration. In fact, I had a big, long one that I did. It included the Zapruder film and a whole bunch of other things that was narrated. And people accused me of telling people what to see. Well, I wasn't. I was just pointing out things to them. So I took the narration out. So you get to look at it by yourself. Now, it shows it at regular speed, and I mean the real speed, not the speed you see on television where they have actually speeded it up, but the real speed that the car was traveling. And you'll also see it one-half speed, one-quarter speed, and one-tenth speed, and then we do it frame by frame, pausing for a long time on each individual frame. All of the frames are there. It's not like a lot of these other ones being passed around where frames are missing or are twisted around or, you know, switched with each other. And it's an incredible film, in brilliant color. You'll never see this anywhere else. It also has extensive footage of the symbolism in Dealey Plaza that you never get to see, that they never show you. So the Zapruder film for members is $24 post-paid, non-members $32 post-paid. That's for members $24, non-members $32. If you live outside the United States, send an extra $5 for shipping and handling. If you live outside the United States, send an extra $5 for shipping and handling. the Oklahoma City training video. This is actually a training video meant for intelligence service, intelligence operatives, and was presented by our Oklahoma, not just Oklahoma, she actually has four states under her command, but for this purpose, it is the Oklahoma City Station Chief, or the Oklahoma Station Chief, I should say. There's no Oklahoma City Station Chief. And it's a five-tape set, which is over 9 solid hours of training, in-depth preparation to function as an intelligence operative for the intelligence service, or for any intelligence service for that matter. It's normally very expensive because we don't sell very many. There were only 50 sets made. We were going to make 100, and when I advertised, there wasn't that much demand, so we only made 50 sets. We only have 14 sets left, ladies and gentlemen. There are only 14 sets left. I'm going to take one of those sets out for myself. That leaves 13. So there's only 13 sets left. So if you want it, you better get it now, because I guarantee you, they're going to disappear real fast. The Oklahoma City training video, five tape set, over 9 hours of solid in-depth training in intelligence work, specifically using the Oklahoma City bombing as an example. But it is not just about the Oklahoma City bombing. It's about doing intelligence work. Members, $52 for the set, post-paid. Members, $52 for the set, post-paid. Non-members, $64 for the set, post-paid. Non-members, $64 for the set, post-paid. That's a big discount, folks. If you live outside the United States, add $8 for shipping and handling. If you live outside the United States, add $8 for shipping and handling. And here comes the biggie, folks, the Mystery Babylon series. It is the only production of its kind that's ever been done anywhere by anybody. It is unequaled in the depth of the research and the information revealed, and it will absolutely astound you. Everyone who has purchased the Mystery Babylon series has literally been blown away. And it has created some tremendous enemies for me within the secret societies, Freemasonry, the Rosencross, and many others. It consists of 41 hours of audio broadcast tapes that were done on the hour of the time, plus the Luxor video. For members, the complete set of tapes is $208. $208 post-paid. Now, these tapes are going to be retired. They've been duplicated so many times, I don't want to have any degradation in the quality for future posterity. So they're going to be retired, and they won't be available very much longer. And after 2 weeks, they're going to be back to the normal price. Members, $208 post-paid. Non-members, $232 post-paid. Members, $208. Non-members, $232. If you are a foreign member, add $20 for postage and handling. If you are a foreign member, add $20 for postage and handling. If you are a non-member who lives outside the United States, add $44 for postage and handling. 1995 broadcast quality stereo tapes of the hour of the time, and you can pick and choose from your tape list or your catalog. If you have one, if you don't, you better get one real quick. The 1995 audio tapes are for members $6 each postpaid. For members, $6 each postpaid. For non-members, they're $8 each postpaid. Once again, any 1995 broadcast quality studio stereo tape of the hour of the time. For members is $6 postpaid. Non-members, $8 postpaid. Sale ends February the 20th, ladies and gentlemen, and all orders must be postmarked no later than February the 20th. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Maybe. Mountain music from the early history of this country. There's a lot of music in this world, ladies and gentlemen, that was invented, written, made its appearance right here in this country. And I like it all. I love all music, as a matter of fact. I don't think that there's any genre of the music field that I have ever heard that does not have some just absolutely fine, beautiful, wonderful, soul-stirring music. And I have been told that my taste is eclectic, and it may be, but and I've tried to sort of introduce many of you to the fact that there's not just one kind of anything. Everything on this earth has its good points and its bad points and its in-between points. And it's important that we learn that if we ever want to be free from all of the bad things that are responsible for the worst of our history. And when I say our history, I'm talking about the human race as a whole. Tonight, what I'd like to do is sort of deviate from the normal pattern of the broadcast of the hour of the time. What I would like to do is hear from you on the phone, 520-333-4578, and I would like to hear what your most beautiful memory is. I would like for you to tell me the most beautiful, the best memory in your life, and I would like for you to describe it just as closely as you possibly can to the actual event, so that maybe all of us will be able to experience that. You see, we dwell on such weighty matters on this broadcast that I think every once in a while it's good to deviate from that, to get down to our humanity and sort of share with each other something good, because there are good things out there. Now remember, when I answer the phone, if you want to talk about something else, I'm going to hang up on you. There is a topic tonight. The topic is the most beautiful memory that you can remember in your entire life. I want you to share that with me and with the listening audience. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, Bill, the most beautiful memory I've got actually is a drive.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, I drive about 70,000 miles a year because I'm a salesman.
Uh-huh.
And when I get a vacation, you know what I want to do? I want to drive some more. I just love driving, but there is a drive that up in Washington State, and if you go up Interstate 5, and you'll get to Olympia, and at Olympia, just past Olympia, there's a place called Tumwater, and you turn off of Highway 101 there at Tumwater,
uh-huh.
And you...
Olympia Brewery.
Yeah.
I remember it well from my younger days, on every can, and every bottle.
Right. Well, you take Highway 101 north there, and you basically, you're splitting there, and you're going around the Puget Sound. If you were to keep going north on I-5, you'd end up in Tacoma and Seattle and so on and so forth, but you swing around to the west there, and you take the Puget Sound, and it meanders, and it kind of wanders around, and it's about a 100-mile drive there, and it ends up in Port Angeles, Washington, right across from Victoria, Canada. But as you're driving, especially in the winter, this time of the year, there's nobody on the road. It's just you and nature. And as you're driving, it's just nothing but ocean. And you can see the ships out in the channels. And you can see the various islands. And I cannot make this drive. I make this drive about two or three times a year because I own property up there. But I cannot physically make this drive without breaking down and crying. And I'm a 46-year-old man.
Wow.
I just think that I've been all over the United States and a lot of places, but I just think that this is one of the most beautiful creations that God has ever made. And it's so far, it's unspoiled by man. And that Olympic Peninsula is a well-kept secret. But as you're driving along, sometimes you might, you know, sometimes it's raining, but you might come along behind the log truck, and if it's very quiet in the winter and there's no tourists around, I just back off behind the log truck, and I roll my window down, and I listen to him going through his gears as he goes around the corners in the Puget Sound. And then, of course, when you get up toward Port Angeles, if it's a clear day, you can go up on top of Hurricane Ridge and you can actually see forever. But anyway, that's something I wanted to share with you. I've got other beautiful things that would have to do with God and country and my family, but that's the first thing that popped into my mind tonight. And I would encourage anyone that's listening, if they can ever take that drive, it's got to be one of the best in the United States.
Wow, that's a wonderful story.
Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. We want to hear what's your most beautiful memory in your whole life that you can remember. You know, the problem with me is I start thinking about that. I can remember so many that I don't know which one is the most beautiful. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
This is Captain Lee from Michigan.
Hello.
My best memory is when the night my first daughter was born. I was a young soldier in Panama, and my wife is from Panama. And I was on duty, and I got a call and says, Lee, your wife is at the hospital and delivering. I ran out to the hospital real fast, picked up that beautiful young daughter, held her, and Mr. Cooper, anybody don't believe in Christ, never been through that. That was my best experience.
So that was
she's a sergeant first class in the Army and got two daughters of her own.
Wow. So that was a real spiritual thing for you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cooper. Hold that young, beautiful young daughter in my hand. That was the best experience of my life.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Good night.
Thank you for sharing that with us. 520-333-4578. We'd like to hear what your memory is. Good evening. You're on the air.
Okay, Bill. Good evening to you. The most wonderful memory, Bill, that I have, it happens every day of my life while my wife was alive. Unfortunately, I lost her coming home at night from a day's work. It was just like walking into a different world. This woman was just terrific. She was a wonderful mate, a wonderful mother, and above all, a true friend. And it's, I'm still in love with her. She's gone 3 years, Bill. So that's the wonderful memory that I have.
Well, I'd say that you're an extremely lucky man to have had a wife that makes you feel that way.
Oh, you bet your life, Bill. And I'm still with her. I'm still in love with her.
That's great.
Okay, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wow. That almost brought a tear to my eye. 520-333-4578. You know, so many people go through life going from one mate to another and never find one that makes them happy. That gentleman is extremely lucky. I'm extremely lucky, and I know there are some many others out there, too. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. What a nice topic. Well, I think we all need a reprieve from the hideousness of things sometimes.
Yes, we do. And those of us who are bombarded with it 24 hours a day especially need one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I had an experience. Although I live in Michigan, I lived in Los Angeles for a number of years, and I worked for a furniture manufacturer in South Central L.A., near the border of Compton, so you probably know where that area is.
Yes, I do.
And it was in July, and I was coming to work. It was a very hot, dry weather, typical for L.A., and I noticed in the morning as I was driving to work by a very busy intersection in a very rough, gang-infested neighborhood, an area about a block wide that was just demolished buildings and trash and with broken-down fencing around it, and there were these dogs drinking out of water that was kind of running along the curb, some runoff from watering being done somewhere. And I became concerned that they were going to get hit by cars. For people that don't know, in areas where life is very difficult, oftentimes people who are bitter and abused strike out and abuse the helpless in order to feel powerful. So they abuse children and they abuse animals. So I started bringing water into these dogs, into this dump every day. And then I became concerned about how they would eat, so I started bringing food. This turned into something that lasted for 8 months. And during this 8 months, I got the dogs out one at a time and got them homes. But there was one dog that was very distrustful, obviously very abused, who was a chow chow. And she would wait for me, but she would never come near me. And during this time, she even gave birth to a litter of puppies, which I trapped them all and got them all out. But after 8 months of not trusting me to come close enough, even though she waited for me to bring her food and water, the day that she came up to me, she walked up to me and laid her head in my lap.
Wow.
And Bill, it was like taming a lion. I felt so much in the grace of the love of the universe that across species that something like this could happen. I just felt so honored that this poor animal who was so distrusting of human beings laid all of her trust in my lap. It was a very emotional moment for me, and I miss her very much to this day, although she's in another happy home.
Well, I think that's a wonderful story, and I think that you're a very wonderful person, that you would take time out from your life to do something like that for a bunch of stray dogs.
Well, it was really, I was the lucky one in all of those experiences. I think for all of us, whenever we can reach out and love and give, those are the most enriching experiences of all. So you're also reaching out to a lot, and thanks a lot, Bill. You're a great guy.
Well, thank you.
Okay, good night.
And thank you for sharing that with us.
Okay, thanks for allowing me to do it.
520-333-4578. Let's hear your memory. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. This is a great topic, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, me too.
Started the show tonight with playing music. I was thinking about how I've heard you say in the past how important music is in your life. And I've always enjoyed that part of your show. And when you have your daughter on, I'm single and I don't have any kids. I'm very close to my best friend's young girl. I was playing with her tonight. And and I was over there, and she's a beautiful young thing, and I don't know if parenthood would ever be right for me, but I love playing with her and with my nieces and nephews, and those are always great parts of the show. I'm glad you're including it. I can't think of the most beautiful thing I've ever seen or the most beautiful moment in my life, but I can tell you that I think the most spiritual that I've ever felt meeting another human, and the most beautiful person I feel that I've ever met in the musical world. And I was never intimidated or scared of those people. I was thrilled to meet them and excited, but I had the opportunity about a year ago around Easter to meet Bill Monroe, who is the so-called father of bluegrass music.
Oh, wow.
And he is in his 80s now and was doing a pair of shows in a small a campground up in North Carolina. And there were about 500 people at the afternoon show. And, you know, he's the guy that wrote the great song Blue Moon of Kentucky
uh-huh.
that Elvis recorded and so many others. And some other great bluegrass standards, Uncle Tan, he wrote. And a lot of the bluegrass standards, that a couple of them I learned to sing in elementary school when we used to have our sing-alongs, like in the third grade, you know. I learned his songs and Woody Guthrie songs and things. And when I met him, there were actually women there, Bill. They were like 60 and 70 years old, who were coming up to meet him and were in tears. They had tears coming down their faces.
Probably been in love with him all their life.
Yeah, and he would kiss them and hug them and take pictures with them, and they would cry, and they would tell stories about how when they were growing up in the 30s and 40s, would hear his music on the radio. They would hear him on the Grand Ole Opry and had loved his music all their lives.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't get up the nerve, really, to go up and to shake his hand and to get him to sign the old album that I had. Although I know he'd have been happy to do it. There were just so many other people around who seemed even more excited than me, and he was so gracious. And he was not one of those artists who performed and then went off to his bus or whatever. He walked throughout the crowd, back and forth with the people, and basically socialized like it was a Sunday, you know, church service,
mm-hmm.
the whole show. And I was really touched by it, and now I try to go see him every opportunity when I can when he comes around. I've never seen him in a setting quite as informal as that, where I could get that close again. And, that's I really the most beautiful person I've met, and I would recommend to people that like bluegrass or are interested in learning, you know, something of that, of our American heritage, to get. There's a movie you can get probably almost any video store called A High Lonesome, The Story of Bluegrass, and it's a documentary. It's an award-winning documentary by a woman whose name I can't recall, but it's called High Lonesome, and it pretty much tells the story of his life and how he basically invented that music. And, you know, you can't say that I can't think of anybody in music who you can point to one person and say they invented that genre. You know, certainly Elvis was the king of rock and whatnot, but you can't say he invented the music. And Bill pretty much...
No, as a matter of fact, he's so far from it, it actually came out of Black America.
True, and he credits that, and it's beautiful to hear him talk about his days when he was growing up, and he melded those old songs that he had, the what they call the old Negro spirituals,
mm-hmm.
that he'd learned as a child, and he meshed those with mountain standards from Scotland and Ireland that his ancestors who had come over 50 or 100 years earlier, and they melded those instruments, and it's beautiful. Have you ever seen the movie Mate One?
Yes.
Bill.
Yes.
Well, it's beautiful in that movie the way they mesh all those.
Oh, without the music, that wouldn't be a movie.
Oh, yeah, there wouldn't. And I don't have a soundtrack for that one. I do collect soundtracks, but I've written that movie 3 or 4 times just not only to view the story,
yeah.
which is great, but to hear those
uh-huh.
beautiful songs. Have you heard the new Bruce Springsteen song where he sings Welcome to the New World Order?
No, but if he says that, I gotta hear it.
First, I think it's the title cut on the new album, The Ghost of Tom Joad, but there's a line early in the song. He sang it on The Tonight Show a couple of months ago, and it's Welcome to the New World Order.
Well, I'll have to make a point to hear that. Thank you for sharing with me.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. I know your airtime is valuable, and I really enjoyed this.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you. The hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. You know, there are times that I wish I could share Craig Smith with all of you. If you don't know him, if you've never spoken to him, you have no concept, really, of what a wonderful person he is. I have seen him do things for people that he didn't have to do, for people that he really doesn't even know, just because that's the kind of person that he is. I've also seen him do things for people that he shouldn't have done things for, because that's also just the kind of person that he is. And I keep trying to get him on this broadcast. I've had him on here a couple of times, but he won't stay for longer than about 10 minutes. And one of these nights, I want to get him on this broadcast for the whole hour and just talk about nothing but him, personal things, and let you find out if I can get him to do it, because he's also a very modest man. He has had his own radio broadcasts in the past all across the country, and he talks about a lot of the things when he's on the radio that I do. But he never gets into himself, and I've got to get him on here to do that. If you ever have a chance and he's in the office, ask if you can talk to him. And don't tie him up for a long time, because he's a very busy man. But see if you can just talk to him for a few moments and get some personal contact, because I think that's so important, especially when you're doing business with someone, and especially when you're doing it for the reasons that we're doing it with him. One, he's sponsored this broadcast for so long, and he didn't have to do it. It's caused him a lot of problems at some times, because some of the things I talk about are not things that make people happy. And he has come to the aid of me and many others. How many of you know? There's a famous Patriot broadcaster who was arrested, tried, and thrown in prison. He escaped, and I don't know whether he was ever caught again. Most of you don't know that Craig Smith spent about $30,000 trying to save that man. You don't know these things. These are not things that you ever know. These are just things that those of us who are very close to Craig Smith ever know. You can't deal with a better company or better people than Swiss America Trading. So call them, 1-800-289-2646. Tell them you're a steady listener to this broadcast. Get your hands on some real money. Ask for a copy of the latest newsletter. And folks, remember, the people that you're going to talk to in trying to consummate these deals that you're going to make, if you make a deal, are there because they have to feed a family. It's like going anyplace else where something is being sold. Take charge of the conversation. If you only have $20 to spend, tell them, and they'll work with you. But they don't know that if you don't make it clear. Okay? 1-800-289-2646, and do it now. You know how you tend to procrastinate, just like I do. That good music. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, good evening, Bill. I would like to share the most beautiful memory I have in my life with your listeners. 5 years ago today, I gave birth to my first child and my only child. My son Kit is now 5 years old today. It's his birthday.
Oh, that's Pooh's five.
My son Kit is 5 years old today.
No, I think you misunderstood. I said Pooh is also five.
Pooh. Okay. I did not hear you. The most beautiful memory in my life was after giving birth to my son and looking into his eyes for the first time. I was lost in heaven for 3 days.
That's quite an experience, isn't it?
It sure was. I was in heaven until CPS came and stormtrooped into my room and ripped my child from my arms. My child, Kit, is now still in state foster care concentration camps. And I just like to say, Kit, your mother loves you. I will not stop fighting for you ever. Happy birthday, little son. Thank you very much.
Wow, thank you. Now you did it. Now I really have tears in my eyes.
I do too.
You know, it's stories like that that just make me so, make me feel so helpless and so inadequate and just make me so angry at the same time. I just want to lash out at these people who do these things. And,
well, as long as they get paid, they will continue doing them. And as long as the taxpayers keep paying these people with their tax money, they will continue to destroy innocent families. They will continue to steal children from parents, and they will continue to do it until their paychecks are completely stopped. And it's going to continue as long as the taxpayers allow it.
Well, you're absolutely correct. So, I'm deeply sorry that this has happened to you.
5 years ago today, I gave birth to my son after 17 years of infertility. 17 years of waiting for my son. God finally gave me one, and CPS stole him.
Where are you from?
Tucson, Arizona.
I know who you are. We did a broadcast about your situation.
Oh, yes. CPS stormtrooped into my room and stole him from my arms because I wanted to breastfeed him. Terrible, heinous crime nowadays. Daring to bond with your child or to breastfeed him or to love him.
Now, I've forgotten the specific reason why they didn't want you to do that. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Basically, it was a confrontation with the hospital personnel. You've never had to go into a situation like that, but when you go into hospitals, the doctors and the nurses like to dictate to you.
Not to me.
Well, this was the problem with me also. I went in there. I'm chemically sensitive, and I tried to explain to these people, excuse me, I am severely chemically sensitive. I am hypersensitive to medications. I cannot tolerate your drugs. Well, they forced the drugs into me anyway. Now they had a liability, and they realized that they had to do something, so basically they started, they just started in with their little, you can't do this, you can't do that, and I'm the type of person, hey, if I'm going to breastfeed my kid, I'm going to walk in there and breastfeed my kid, and nobody in the world is going to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
I took my child back to my hospital room with me, and I had confrontation after confrontation after confrontation, until the hospital personnel decided that they were going to call in a malicious call to the CPS and use CPS as their private attack dog. And they came in, stormtrooped in my room 1.5 hour before discharge and stole my child. They have been retaliating against me ever since. I have filed 5 lawsuits against them to date. Every single one of them has been dismissed mysteriously in the state courts. After 2 years, I finally had one more lawsuit, which was finally accepted in federal district court. And I'm not sure how long I'm going to be able to keep that one going. But they come in now on February 15th, and they determine whether or not they're going to sever my parental rights. And this is what's going on in Arizona today.
Well, it's not just Arizona. It's going on, unfortunately, in most states.
Right. My child is having his 5th birthday. Actually, he had his 4th birthday in state custody also. And now he's having his 5-year-old birthday in state custody. My child is imprisoned in a foster care concentration camp somewhere.
Well, I'm certainly sorry to hear that, and I know all the listeners are too, and I want to thank you for calling and sharing that with us.
Well, that was the happiest moment of my life, looking in my child's eyes for the first time. I was lost in heaven. Now I'm lost in hell. And I hope to someday be able to look into my child's eyes again.
Well, I hope that you're able to do that also.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Wow. There's not much you can say after a story like that. At least, I don't know what to say. It makes me so angry. I wish we could just all march down there and make it right. But I don't know how to do that either. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing tonight?
I was doing fine until I heard that last caller.
I tell you what, somewhat similar. My wife and daughter gave the most beautiful memory to me. I remember when my wife gave birth to my daughter. And I remember washing my daughter and holding her in that warm water and feeling just how small and fragile and warm and lovely she was. It brings tears to my eyes tonight as I think about it, and every time I do, I'll never forget about it. And it was on a late day, in the latter part of April, and the days that followed thereafter seemed like she just brought the sunshine to the region there. It was so beautiful. I'll never forget it. That's all I have to say. Bill, you keep it up, huh?
Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
Thank you for sharing with us. 520-333-4578 is the number. Call us and let's hear what your special memory is. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. This is Richard in California.
Hi, Richard.
You know, I, following suit and probably being traditional, I have to admit that when both my children were born, what a great, great spiritual experience to, you know, go through all the excitement, the anticipation, and then to be there and see these little God's miracles come in the world. And it's very spiritual and emotional experience in my life, and that's probably, there's been a lot of beautiful things happen, but by far that's just been unbelievably beautiful, and I will always remember that. And I love your show, but I tell you what, when Pooh gets on there and she says the Pledge of Allegiance, I get a lump in my throat, and I think of all the little boys and girls throughout the whole world. One more thing, Bill. I appreciated your show when you told us how you experienced your second daughter's birth. I smiled throughout the whole show. I related to it 100%, and to me, that's a testimony of your true character. God bless you. I love you, and keep up the good work, brother.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
I get an awful lot of letters about that show, and one person wrote and said that it was the best live radio broadcast he'd ever heard in his entire life, and he was a habitual, addicted radio listener. And, you know, when I get a letter like that, it's extremely humbling to me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Sharon from Staten Island, New York.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Thank you for being there for us. The most beautiful thing in my life, and I like to quote from the original version, was from the Pledge of Allegiance, and it said, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And when I listen to your articulation and philosophy of life, it so matches my own. And the ideals that I believe this country is truly designed for. And I'm a little nervous this first time calling.
Well, take a deep breath. Nobody's going to bite you here.
And I just want to thank you. You really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. This is Art from Stockton.
Hello, Art. Stockton, California?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about my most beautiful memory, and it happened to me on June 5th, 1955 in Chico, California. I'd been staying up all night reading my Bible, and I read 1 Corinthians 7:40, and I think that I have the Spirit of God. You know, that's what it says there. And the words seemed to stand out on the page, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit came to me, and I met Jesus, and he is a person and also God, you know. You're a Christian, you know. And the love I felt was indescribable. The hope I'm trying to give people is that he's coming back, and all this is going to be solved. We're all going to be happy, except, of course, the people that reject.
Well, wait a minute. We don't do preaching on this broadcast. You can tell us your experience, but don't tell people that what they're going to be saved or not saved or go to hell or go to heaven or anything.
No,
like
I'm not a judge of that.
Okay.
But anyway, after a short moment, the spirit of Satan came in the room, and Satan conveyed to me that He was only trying to do his best, and I should pity him. So I told Satan, no, I don't, I hate you. At first I said that. And then I said, no, so, Satan, I don't hate you. I just wish you could go somewhere else to live. But I knew right then that he couldn't go anywhere because he would contaminate the universe because he's a rebel without a cause, you know. And God is love, and he just can't live with us if we're going to be pure and try to obey God. So then the Jesus Spirit, Satan left then, and then Jesus Spirit came back stronger to me, and I sensed he wanted me to give my life to him, and that is, it's sort of like dying, you know what I mean? You die, you're born again, sort of.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's hard to describe. I can't describe it very well unless it happened to you, and it's dying in a figurative way. Well, I've been a Seventh-day Adventist Christian ever since then. But I respect all Christians. I'm not going to try to down anybody, but that's my church. And please forgive me for being nervous. I'm just trying to tell you what happened to me. I guess that's about it, Bill.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Bill.
And thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
520-333-4578. Give us your special memory, whatever it might be. And I'm not gonna judge you for it. A beautiful memory is a beautiful memory. If it gave you comfort and hope and was beautiful in your life, then I want to hear about it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. It's Gary from Wyoming.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah, you know, I was sitting here myself trying to think of the most beautiful memory, and right now the only thing I can think of is seeing a wife and children that are happy and content, and you know, you think of the future, what it could bring, but it's these good memories of things like that, smiles that come to their faces, you know, the words, you know, your wife says to you, I love you. You know, it's hard to convey things like that, but, you know, I thank God for that. Also, thank you for your show, too.
Well, thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Yeah, that's what he just said. Just, you know, something happened here the other day. I was upstairs sitting on the couch doing mail. And all of a sudden, I heard the most wonderful, most beautiful laughter downstairs. And it was a little Pooh and Annie were just playing with each other and just having such a wonderful time that it was just the most innocent, most wonderful, most beautiful laughter. And I just sat there very quietly and listened. And it went on for about 10 or 15 minutes. And it was... I have to tell you, it's one of the most beautiful memories that I've ever experienced in my life. It's not the most beautiful, but it's one of them. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, Bill. My goodness. This is an act of something here. I wrote some notes while I was listening, and I've got to say that I'm in love with a lady from Staten Island. I didn't know anybody that far east really felt for this country anymore. But...
Oh, yeah, there are quite a few people, not enough, but there are a lot of people back east who feel just the same way that we do.
Well, stop it. You'll make me emotional. Anyhow, this is Mike from Pennsylvania, the same guy that called in with Thomas Paine last week.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, my end of it was that a very emotional scene that not only, and beautiful, that came up through my life was something that happened on a Memorial Day. And it was a Memorial Day in Lewis, Delaware, which was a small coastal town that was bombarded during the War of 1812, but the British were afraid to land because the men of the town lined the wharves.
Now, wait a minute. Is this your memory?
This is my memory. Well, wait a minute. It's the history of the town where I was born, but part of the memory.
I want to hear your memory.
You're going to hear it, okay?
Okay.
This wraps into it, okay? But the British were afraid to land because the men of the town lined the wharves with their rifles. And to bolster this tiny town's act of defiance against the British fleet, the women wore their husbands' and fathers' garments and shouldered their brooms as if they were rifles, which really scared the British that were anchored in the bay because in their little telescopes of the time, the women and the brooms seen marching around the bulwarks looked just like an endless line of soldiers.
Now, you got to speed it up. We're out of time.
Well, after a few broadsides, anyhow, their warships decided they'd go on to easier pickings. my thought and a beautiful memory of Memorial Day was as about a 6-year-old during the Korean War, and watching my father, who was a World War II veteran, remove his hat during taps and not really knowing all that was going on, but as the rifles fired and those of us youngsters, we like grabbed and ran and stretched between the legs of the honor guard that shot, and we smelled the powder in the hot brass as we tossed it in our hands. And I think we realized that's what freedom really was all about. And to this day, having buried many of my comrades after...
I hate to do this, but I got to cut you off. We're out of time.
10 years.
When I tell you we're out of time, I'm not kidding.
Love you. Nice.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, the Battle of Monmouth. You know, the women used to follow the soldiers to war. A woman stood and watched her husband, who was one of the crew of a cannon, get just blown to bits. And she rushed up and took his place in the battle, loading and firing the cannon. She was 7 months pregnant at the time. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless you all. Thank you.